Money, money, money.
NFL teams be spending money.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. As you can probably tell, this week will be NFL related, and all the free agency trades and all the crazy things that generally happens in the NBA, but I'm not used to it in the NFL. Not this crazy, anyway.
Oh man, it was just holy mackerel! Just as soon as that league year started, it just went absolutely balmy.
It certainly did. I mean, where do you want to start? Like, there's a thousand places we could start.
With a few franchise tags that sort of got dished around to sort of start with. Like, they were the first things that sort of come out. And then I guess we can go into trades and free agents from there. But I think, obviously the biggest, the biggest franchise tag that was out there to start was Dak Prescott, your boy.
Yeah, look, they didn't have a choice. Otherwise, he would have been on free agency, so they didn't have a choice. They clearly didn't come to an agreement. Franchising him, I think it works out, if I was looking at it correctly, franchise tagging him will give him $27.5 million for the year. That's the quarterback free agency tag, or franchise tagging, sorry. They had no choice. I still think he needs to come down what he really thinks he deserves. We'll go over quarterback contracts going into this soon, but I know he's young and I know what other quarterbacks are getting, but if he thinks he's going to get close to 40, he is ridiculous.
He's not getting, and the more that you sort of listen to certain NFL experts and everything up there, then they'll tell you that it doesn't matter what he's worth, it's what somebody's willing to pay him. And there's possibly teams out there that might be willing to pay him up, I don't think $40 million, like that's just out of the question, but there could be teams out there that they could put, a $33 to $35 million price tag on him. And it's unfortunate that that's just what the quarterback market is going to be right now. And the Dallas Cowboys will want to get in very quickly before the Kansas City Chiefs do anything with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, the last deal he rejected was a $33 million a year deal, which included more than $105 million in guaranteed money. And he flat out rejected it.
From what I've heard, and I only heard this not today, but yesterday, is they're haggling over the length of contract. Dak wants 4. The Cowboys want to wrap him up for 5 years. I think he wants 4 years because that's going to give him leverage. As he's still going to be young when he comes off that contract, and if he signs a 5-year, obviously he's going to be another year older. And I think that might be pushing him at 30. So I think it might be they're just trying to get that deal done and out of the way, and he wants to be again possibly on that free agent market before his 30th birthday. And I think that's just more of an optics type thing, that people look at him and go, all right, he's only 29, instead of looking at him and go, oh, he's 30.
I was wrong. It's $31.5 million. God, that's a decent franchise tag for a quarterback. Anyway, there's a few signings that have happened, and I know we'll go over them all, but I get from what's happened, I think he's worth more than 33, but I couldn't see him close to 40. I mean, maybe 36, 37, and I'm going off contracts that happened last year, a.k.a. Not mine, but I was going to say, do you like your boy from Eagles?
Who that?
Who signed a big contract from Philadelphia Eagles? A certain quarterback.
Well, Carson Wentz. He's been signed on as much potential as what any quarterback has been signed on. He's just not durable enough.
And that's the same for
Jared Goff. He proved it in the season that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and he proved it again last year. that he can only get through a certain amount of games, and then unfortunately, when it comes to around playoff games, he's not available.
I just I'm only going off their contracts. I mean, Carson's wasn't too bad. That was $30 million a year, but Jared Goff was absolutely ridiculous.
His is absolutely absurd.
Its average is $34 million a year. So if he's getting 34, and I full credit for Dak for waiting out. Dak probably in my eyes at least deserves 36, but.
But when you look at the top, you know, three to four guys that are getting paid on average per season, you know, Russell Wilson is the top. He's getting like 35. Big Ben Roethlisberger was on 34, but he's restructured his deal. That sort of reduced it a little bit. So he's not quite up there as well. And Aaron Rodgers at 33.5. Can he touch any of those guys?
Well, Kirk Cousins just signed his $33 million a year for the next 2 years. So I think 35 is probably okay, personally, because he is only 26. But you're right. It'll all go to if they don't hurry up before Patrick Mahomes one comes out, because that's
They're almost going to be pricing themselves out of the market because not to say that he's going to want that sort of money, but he is going to want more than what he's getting now. And that's unfortunate because, you know, he's as durable a quarterback as you've seen. He come in for Tony Romo, in 2016. Mm. He hasn't missed a game. He's missed one practice ever. And that made like national headlines that he didn't make. He probably had the sniffles or something, and he didn't come in one day, and everybody went bananas over that.
He's been reliable. He's been super reliable and super loyal.
I say it a lot, and I can't remember who I stole it from, but yeah, the best ability is availability, and he has been available for the Dallas Cowboys every step of the way since he stepped in after Tony Romo got those back fractures. And in the preseason game, and he stepped straight in, and he hasn't missed a beat.
Well, we'll go to the other franchise tag. So Chris Jones, the Kansas City Chiefs have franchise tagged him.
16 million, I think. So that's not smart. It's not too bad. Well, so, just on that, you know, Kansas City defensively got a lot better as the season went on. Like they, yeah, and during their playoff run. And obviously in the Super Bowl, their defense got a lot better. Like earlier in the year, they could not stop the run. They were horrendous. Everybody who had a decent run game just stomped all over them. And, you know, full credit to them that's what they've done. And they're trying to make those adjustments during the off season. And franchising Chris Jones is one of the best defensive linemen out there.
Shaquille Barrett from the Buccaneers, they franchise tagged him at $15.8 million.
This was his first season as a full-time starter.
Yeah, but he showed that potential. That's why.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But that's him. But this is his. This is his first season as a full-time starter. He leads the league, 19.5 sacks. Yeah. Like his potential is out of this world. And you know, for Tampa to sort of to wrap him up, that's excellent.
Bud Dupree from the Pittsburgh Steelers, the linebacker, 15.8.
Another linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, 11.5 sacks last year. You know, him and T.J. Watt were two of the most menacing linebackers. you know, as a duo in the league. So for them to sort of wrap him up is that's just typical sort of Pittsburgh. You know, they sort of for a lot of years they've hung their hat on being no pun intended, steely defensive team. They've got much bigger problems on the other side of the ball.
What do you think about the Bengals? That's his hit another tag on AJ Green, franchise tagging him.
If AJ comes back healthy, I think the Bengals must have come out and sort of given them some sort of assurances that they're either going to take Burrow at number one.
Yeah, I think.
Or maybe Tua. I just think there's all the videos out there at the moment that he's working out and doing all that sort of stuff. But yeah, AJ Green, yeah, didn't play a game last year.
Not one game, had that
ankle injury, couldn't make it back. Just one of those things where he just wasn't making progress throughout the year. And then ended up ditching the season. I think it was after like week 11 or week 12 where he was pushed back another month, and then it's like, righto, he's done for the season. Obviously Cincinnati weren't going to make the playoffs, so they just decided to sit him. And good on him, you know, $17.8 million on the franchise tag. Like that's not bad money from coming off a year where your body hasn't taken any bangs.
And in those 9 seasons that he's been with, except for last year, 7 of them he's been a Pro Bowler. So it kind of makes sense. He's very productive.
He is. He's super loyal as well. Him and Andy Dalton have got that sort of rapport there. But it'll be interesting to wait and see what the Bengals do at number one, which everybody seems to think that it's going to be Joe Burrow. So I don't think they can sort of take that flyer on Tua. I think you're better off going for the sure thing. Well, as sure a thing as you can get in the draft, in Joe Burrow.
We'll whip through a couple more. Derrick Henry, from the Tennessee Titans, franchise tagged him for a running back down and gets him $10.2 million. Oh my God. I just like he was Tennessee Titans last year. I know everyone, Ryan Tannehill.
He was without a doubt the one of the big reasons why they made that playoff run. And nothing away from Ryan Tannehill. He didn't turn the ball over. He did what he was supposed to do. So, but yeah, Derrick Henry definitely deserves every penny of that of that franchise tag. Obviously, it was either going to go one of two ways. They were going to franchise Tannehill and sign Henry to a long-term deal, but they've gone the other way. They signed Tannehill to the long-term deal and franchised Derrick Henry. So we'll have to wait and see what they do in this coming season and see what happens with contract next year for Derrick Henry.
I think that'll give him a full season to work out a contract for him. It'd be ludicrous, to get rid of him, so to speak. I quite liked the Los Angeles Chargers, franchise tagging Hunter Henry. I think towards the end of the season, he was great at the tight end. He's still young. He's only been in there for 4 years. He did have a series of injuries. I think it was not last year, but the year before. But yeah, he was great.
2018, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty impressive, that one.
No, I think they did well. I think they probably, obviously once they knew that Philip Rivers was gone. Another team out there that's possibly in need of a quarterback. The coach Anthony Lynn there seems to think that it's going to be Tyrod Taylor because he was the backup to Philip Rivers there last year. Unfortunately for him, I think it's going to be the same situation that what he was at Cleveland the year before. They sort of touted him, Hugh Jackson touted him as being the starter at Cleveland, and he only played like 4 games, and then Baker Mayfield come in. So if the Chargers don't sign a quarterback in this free agency and maybe draft one, obviously we've got to wait and see on that one as well, whether or not how long Tyrod Taylor lasts.
The other one that stood out for me was Yannick Ngakoue from the
Jacksonville Jaguars, I think that's how they pronounce it. If you try and say it phonetically, it's not going to happen. But yeah, okay. Shout out to Yannick. Ngakoue. So that's a good deal for the Jags, but he has definitely expressed his disappointment in it, and from all reports out there, he will not be a Jacksonville Jaguar the season after. I don't think he was very impressed with being tagged.
Don't think he was either.
No, he was. Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, he was pissed.
Were there any other sort of standout franchise before we move on to the free agency signings?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
There's a couple, but they were the franchise
tag world. You know, just the standouts that are there that are probably going to make big differences on their teams. I think that's probably pretty much it as a wrap for franchise tags.
So the free agencies now, it was chaotic is probably the best way to put it. I don't know. Did it feel like for you? It trickled with trades, but it to me it felt like it really properly took off when, and not just Tom Brady, but when all the quarterbacks started to go up the board.
No, well, that's right. I think, obviously, before the league year started, Drew Brees had come out and said that, he was returning back to New Orleans. He had two options. He was either retiring or returning to the Saints. There's no way that he was ever going to go anywhere else. So that really wasn't a domino to fall. It was basically, the Tom Brady. Well, Tannehill, I think Tannehill was the first one. He was the first domino to fall. Once Tennessee signed Tannehill, was it 4 years, 118 mil, 62 guaranteed. And some people will go out there and say he basically got that contract on, eight games work, and more power to him. You just got to hope that he can sort of, or that team can replicate what they did last year. But that was the first domino to fall, and then I'm pretty sure Philip Rivers was probably the next biggest name out there. It came out that he'd signed the 1 year, 25 mil deal with the Indianapolis Colts, so that left the Chargers' job open, which I think a lot of people, and I thought it probably made a little bit more sense for Tom Brady to go to the LA Chargers, but. We all know now that TB12 is going to be in TB. So
I've always liked the Buccaneers jersey. I don't know. I just like the black, the red, the white. It's a unique jersey. It's not like your Green Bays and your Cowboys and all Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, not a traditional one. I don't mind it at all.
I just wanted to sort of clarify to anyone that doesn't know, when we say guaranteed money, basically guaranteed money, how I've always taken it, means that if they get injured or anything happens, they get released, they get that money straight away. They're guaranteed that money no matter what.
Whether it's injury, whether it's being released, like a former Carolina.
It's like a signing bonus.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, but it's a signing bonus without being a signing bonus, if that makes sense.
Now, in saying that, so Tom Brady, 2 years, $50 million, exactly the same contract as Drew Brees, which makes total sense, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think? What did you think when you seen it? Your first initial reaction.
You can only assume that it makes sense. If Brady's going to be what Brady is and has been over the last few years, not sort of that dancing quarterback in the backfield, whether it's a five step drop, he's going to get the ball out quick. And he's got guys like, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, OJ Howard to throw to.
Yeah. He's actually got wide receivers to throw to,
your average Joe wide receivers or above average wide receivers. These are excellent wide receivers. The two of them both had 1,000 yard seasons last year. even with both of them being injured, not at the same time, but, you know, them being injured at the end of the season.
And a losing record too.
And so, yes, were they seven and nine last year?
Yeah. So it.
They
must be licking.
Cameron Brate and OJ Howard too are tight ends. Like, and we all know how, you know, how Tom likes to get stuck. You know, loves to use his tight ends. So he's got two pretty decent ones. So it makes all the sense in the world. I still think that he probably would have been better off going to the Chargers. You know, just brand wise. You know, he's in LA. If he stays there for the 2 years, then he'll be playing in the brand new stadium.
He's a California there. Boy too, so
yeah, that's
he's
right.
A local, so, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it would have made a little bit more sense. You know, obviously if his wife, you know, Giselle goes out there as well, then she's going to be making even more money than what she is now. So I just thought it made all the sense in the world to, you know, that they've got decent weapons there as well. At the Chargers, so I thought it made a little bit sense. I didn't see anything wrong with him signing with Tampa. So
no, he's just not winning
the division in that. Yeah, sorry, that just might be a little bit of a homer, but he's just not winning the division.
That's exactly right. So that's what I've been waiting for the whole time for you to say. So
sorry, Tom. This is Drew's division.
Well, at least they're going to see those two play against each other twice in the year.
Right, twice
the
season.
NFC is going to be so stacked, but I don't know. I just think he's probably looked at LA and you know, really looked at it and went, well, all I'm really going to have to throw to is Keenan Allen. And I mean, you know, then you, I suppose I did mention Hunter Henry before, but
Hunter Henry, you've got Austin Eckler there who's a decent pass catcher as well. So you well, that's the thing, you know, Tampa had two, you know, sort of average running backs there, but they've lost one. Peyton Barber went and signed with Washington, so that just leaves them with Ronald Jones. Ron Jones. I think it is that's the other running back. That's sort of their main feature there now. So if Tampa doesn't make any more splashes in free agency and, you know, maybe drafts a running back, then that's gonna be their cash cow in the running game is gonna be Ronald Jones there.
We may as well go down the list of standout sort of signings. Did you mention Philip Rivers before?
Philip Rivers to the Colts. Look,
you were thinking he was going to Miami Dolphins just to the retirement home.
Well, that's right. They've already got Fitzmagic there. You know, they've got Josh Rosen sitting there as well. So, that sort of would have made it a little bit awkward. I don't mind the Rivers signing to Indianapolis.
No.
Obviously you have to think then, what does that mean for Jacoby Brissett? Does he just go back relegated to being a backup, or does somebody who would be rather familiar with him in the state of Massachusetts want to possibly get him back in a navy blue jersey?
From where? From Foxborough or somewhere?
somewhere like that. They've got a pretty decent record over the last 20 years there. and that coach that's there, I think he's pretty good too. So there's the possibility that could be something that the New England Patriots look at, is getting Jacoby Brissett back.
And it's saying Jacoby Brissett, like, the Colts didn't have a bad season last year. He did play pretty good, considering he pretty much got thrown in there when Andrew Luck came out of nowhere.
No, that's right. He did very well there.
So, like you said, New England, he knows New England. New England, he came from there. He was drafted by New England. Belichick must like him if he drafted him. So, yeah maybe.
That's the possibility. There's a few sort of free agent quarterbacks that we could sort of get into a little bit later that You know, there's a possibility of them, you know, possibly signing with New England. You would think that Brissett would be one of the better fits there just purely on familiarity.
Amari Cooper re-signing with the Cowboys, $100 million over the 5 years. I mean, that was pretty, to me, that was smart, because otherwise they would have wasted that. Well, they had to, otherwise they would have wasted that that number one draft pick that they got rid of last year. Yeah, so yeah, they didn't have a choice.
First round draft pick for him. So, but he's, yeah, $60 million guaranteed. You know, that's pretty, yeah, you know, that's pretty good. And I guess that will sort of gauge the wide receiver market for the next couple of years for those elite guys that will be coming up for contracts over the next year, whether it's the next year or the next 2 years. So, you know, him and Dak have got that really good rapport there in Dallas. So it really was a no-brainer to sign him to that contract.
He got better when he left the Raiders. He just got absolutely productively better when he left the Raiders. So.
No, that's right. Yeah, his production was like top three in the league over that span that he played at the end of 2018 and all of last year. He was top three receiver.
Chris Harris, the cornerback that was with the Denver Broncos, is signed with the LA Chargers. 2 years, $20 million.
Yeah,
good player too.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, yeah, definitely. The Chargers, the only thing they don't really need help in really is their offense besides the quarterback. You know, Phillip Rivers obviously was a bit of an interception machine last year. I think he threw 23 touchdowns. I think he had 20 interceptions last year. But yeah, that's good for them to sort of shore up that defense a little bit. Their big need is to find who their number one QB is going to be.
Well, okay, so what are you? Oh no, we'll talk about it later. Who's left later? Yeah, I was gonna say, who do you think? But I have an idea, but we'll go through some more signings.
There's a few on the market.
Talking about, I guess, sort of what cornerbacks. A big splash from Miami Dolphins signing Byron Jones from the Cowboys, $82.5 million over 5 years. He's a very, very good cornerback. Very good cornerback. I guess Miami didn't really waste any time. As soon as
the league year started, they were open for business, and they went after whoever they could get their hands on. And you know, the two big signings for me was Byron Jones, and Kyle Van Noy. Yeah, two really good signings there. You know, cornerback and linebacker. Well, you know, linebacker respectively, with those. Also signing Jordan Howard. He has sort of a bit of an underwhelming season last year with the Eagles, and the year before that, he had a pretty good season with the Chicago Bears. You know, last year, he probably wasn't utilized as much as what he probably could. So, you know, them signing him. A lot of deals for them were made on the defensive side. You know, obviously we said before Shaq Lawson, 3 years for $30 million for him, who came across on the Buffalo Bills. I think not so much the head scratcher for me, but the guy that teams just keep paying money to is Eric Flowers. The offensive lineman. Like, it just, man, he just keeps getting money. He leaks defenders.
He does.
It's unbelievable. You know, he got Eli Manning pummeled a couple of years ago. He got Daniel Jones pummeled last year, and now he's gone to the Dolphins. You know, $10 million a year. Who's going to get pummeled? Fitzpatrick. line him up. He's going to leak defenders.
And except for that. I guess except for that little blip on who they signed, I just think they went out there and their stock's way up. Like the signings that they had between, just said, like you said, Jordan Howard, Kyle Van Noy, and Byron Jones, they really transformed their team overnight. It was great, I thought.
And they also signed the Patriots center Ted Karras as well.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, it's I mean, you need that, you know, that sort of pedigree, who's been, you know, with a championship side for a while, to sort of to get them over the line. Like, you know, how the hell they won five games last year, I'll never know, with all the deals that they made, you know, all the draft capital that they've got for this year. And how they won five games last year is totally beyond me. But
that's because we were wanting, everyone was wanting them to lose, but they just kept winning.
They
should have had Joe Burrow, but it's like they did it to themselves.
They could have been higher than five.
This is true.
That's where they currently sit right now. And if they really want, it will cost them too much to go up and get Joe Burrow at number one. But if they really want Tua, which is what everybody was saying from the jump, that Miami was looking at Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, they're still going to have to give up a little bit if they want to sort of jump up, you know, to maybe number three.
Really? So, you really don't think he'll fall to five? Because I still see him falling to five on injuries alone, or injury. Past injury history.
Now that this video is out there, that Tua's, you know, dropping back and throwing across his left arm to the right, which is sort of putting a little bit of torque on that hip that got dislocated, which is just a horrendous injury. That's just, man, that's unlucky. But I think that's going to make some teams, Detroit. Excuse me, the Lions are at number three. And yeah. I honestly don't see them moving on from Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got to go out there and make teams think that, yes, we are 100% totally interested in Tua Tagovailoa. And that means Miami will have to trade some of their draft capital to go up and get him.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I just because the video comes out, I still think that, you know, surely in the back of their mind, some of those teams have to think, okay, maybe he's injured. But I didn't think of the Detroit Lions purely because he could sit behind Matthew Stafford for probably half a year or a year anyway, and just sort of.
Well, he gets, that's right, exactly. See how it goes, Matt Stafford's got a pretty, you know, pretty hefty contract at Detroit as well. Like, he's one of the top 10. He's one of the top 10 quarterbacks, you know, signed now. I think his total's like 135. He's on like $27 million a season. Detroit, man, they need some help on the offensive side.
Well, it's a team where you never sort of, like, even with this free agency, it's a team that we never really talk about, because they really don't you know what I mean? They don't do a lot. There wasn't like big inspiring moves that they made in free agency, I think.
I guess it's one of those, whether it's the market that, yeah, whether it's is a desirable market in Detroit.
Well, possibly.
You can't tell me that doesn't factor in to some people's thinking. Mm-hmm.
Of course it does.
To me, yeah, it's just got to. Yeah, well, obviously they made a little bit of a trade, and we'll talk a bit about that when we get into the trades later.
We'll go through a couple of other big signings. Your boys, the Saints, getting Emmanuel Sanders might be the bargain of the year, I think. Signing Emmanuel Sanders.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Basically, Michael Thomas, what the doctor ordered. Oh, thank God.
that's right. Ted, obviously, sort of Michael Thomas had an absolutely record-breaking season last year. I think it was 145 catches. Getting the league record there. The only reason he got that was because they just did not have that high-end secondary, you know, number two wide receiver that they could throw to. Mm-hmm. Jared Cook there at that tight end. Ted Ginn Jr., he's been dealing with injuries. Traquan Smith was dealing with injuries. Alvin Kamara obviously is one of the best pass catching running backs running around in the league. So it was just Breeze to Thomas, and that was the reliable combination. And now the signing with Emmanuel Sanders is going to make them a very dangerous team.
I I think so. I think it just alleviates a lot of pressure off Michael Thomas, which you know, not that the guy doesn't look like anything sort of bothers him when you know when he gets hit. Everything just keeps falling off him. But
he's one of the most physical wide receivers that's out there. Like he's just thick.
He's thick. And, that's exactly the way to put it.
He's thick and he's very hard to bring down. The thing that sort of, yeah, sort of irks me about a little bit when they talk about, you know, top three, top five receivers. I don't know what everybody just seems to forget him down there in New Orleans.
Right, Dan. Really? I don't think people forget about him. Michael Thomas, like, by far and away, stood out last year as the best offensive player. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't even close. Exactly. So.
No, it wasn't close.
Unfortunately, they did lose their backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. I still think it's a great signing for the Carolina Panthers, $63 million over 3 years. I think it was very smart because it was only $33 million guaranteed, I believe, or $30 million guaranteed.
I think it was half the comp. Pretty sure it was like $30 million guaranteed.
I think it's great. I think it's a smart move by Panthers, you know, just to alleviate the pressure of, at least off Christian McCaffrey.
No, well, that's right. You know, it's – they had a bit of a disaster there at quarterback Carolina last year, obviously, with Cam Newton only playing a couple of games. He only played four games at the start of the season. And his last eight games that he's played with Carolina, they're 0-8. He had that foot injury, and then they just couldn't come back from. Then they had, you know, Kyle Allen, who sort of stepped in there and looked okay. Mm. And then, you know, in patches at the end of the season, just looked absolutely horrendous. And then they brought in Will Greer, who just, oh my God, just it looked way too out of his depth there at quarterback. And he's only a rookie, so, you know, you can't really sort of read too much into that. So, you know, having Mr. Reliable there and in Teddy B, you know, going to Carolina, took, you know, when Drew Brees went down last year for those five games, you know, Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 with the Saints.
And that's why I think he got that contract. But, yeah, one of the alleviates pressure of Christian McCaffrey. And two, I think now that they've also signed Robbie Anderson, who's pretty skilled from the Jets, I thought that was a pretty good signing for the Panthers as well.
No, a lot of people say that Robbie Anderson is one of the better route runners out there, and he's just got good old fashioned speed, and that's just something that you can't teach, and I think that will do very well. Also, sort of reacquainting himself, Robbie Anderson and Matt Rhule, who were a wide receiver, and obviously Matt Rhule, the coach, at Temple a few years ago. So that's sort of. It took a little while. I didn't think Robbie Anderson would be on the free agency board this long. I thought somebody would have snapped him up before Carolina did.
Yeah, I thought so too. But, you know, $20 million for 2 years is pretty good for a, you know, he's only 26, so still young enough, I guess, as a wide receiver.
No, that's right. Well, I think he had four years at the Jets there. So he did the car wash, you know, what they call the car wash at ESPN a few weeks ago. And I sort of watched a few of his on NFL Live. He was on Golic and Wingo on the radio in the morning, you know, sort of, yeah, like I said, doing the car wash there at ESPN. And I think, well, you know, I think, you know, that this is my opinion. I just didn't really like a way that he did a lot of the interviews because all he talked about was money. And I don't think a lot of teams would have not so much appreciated that, but would have looked at that and went, okay, like, you know, is he doing this for the love of football? You know, all he could do was talking about I got to get paid. I deserve this. You know, I deserve this money, you know, that he hasn't got yet. But I deserve to be on a big contract and everything. I just didn't really like the way that he come across and did that, and whether or not teams, you know, a lot of teams sort of balked at that and just going, right, you know, he's obviously going to be out of our price range because he's going to want a decent, you know, sort of contract, and it took him a week or so to get signed. So, and that's a possibility why he had to take the 2 years, $20 million with Carolina.
The Cleveland Browns. Now, I still don't know how the hell they got Austin Hooper. It was a very, very good tight end for the Atlanta Falcons. They got him $42 million over 4 years.
What a great deal. Man, there is absolutely no excuses now for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Absolutely no excuses. You go out there and get one of the best tight ends, top two, top three tight ends in the league.
Easily. He'd be third or fourth. He's obviously, he can't really go past the Kansas City tight end and the 49ers.
I'd probably throw
Zach Ertz in there too. But yeah, I don't know how the hell he, I can't work out, and this happened when I played on Madden too, actually, how everyone just leaves Austin Hooper alone. And I don't get why people didn't snap him up or Atlanta re-signed him.
I don't know what Atlanta are doing. Like, you know, sort of don't want to circle around that. But yeah, just to say that is a super deal for the Cleveland Browns. He only had 6 touchdowns last year, which is probably a little bit, you know, a little bit down. 75 catches, you know, nearly 800 yards. But yeah, there is just absolutely zero excuses now for the Cleveland Browns. Even though they've got the new coach and everything this year, it just there's no excuses.
It's not the Browns. Baker Mayfield has no excuses. If Baker Mayfield doesn't play ball, he's gone. There is no way.
He's just not going to get a big contract upgrade.
No.
So he's only costing himself money.
We'll go back to the Falcons. They let him go, and then they signed a guy that, you know, is coming off injuries to a 1-year deal in Todd Gurley, who was released.
And they released Devontae Freeman.
I don't know. I really don't know what.
You let go of one injured running back, and you replace him with another one.
Unless they think he's going to capture his MVP form, maybe. I don't know, but
I'm just lost for words. What Atlanta are doing? I'm lost for words. They had a really good end to last season, after having an absolute absolute turd fight to start the season. They were horrible. They had a good end to the season, and obviously that cost them a couple of spots in the draft as well. I have no idea. It's just one of those teams and one of those deals that's gone on. I don't know what direction they're going in.
No, I don't. I mean, thankfully they still have Julio Jones and Matty Ice there. So thankfully, otherwise I don't. Yeah. I don't know I really don't know what the direction they're going in.
They're going to have to go out there and draft or get some sort of offensive line help. Because it's all well and good to have, you know, to have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones there, but if they can't connect and if they can't get Matt Ryan the time to get Julio Jones the ball, then it's pointless.
Other couple of, I guess, ones that stood out for me before we move on to trades. The first one was Robert Quinn. I don't know if we mentioned him going to the Bears, the edge player for the Cowboys. He ended up signing a ridiculously massive contract, $70 million over 5 years for an edge player,
that's what teams are looking for. They're looking for players who can put pressure on the quarterback. So great, Melvin, super deal.
Melvin Gordon to the Broncos, $16 million over 2 years.
Yeah, another sort of head scratcher, I guess.
Head scratch on which way, but
no. Which... Well, obviously, his relationship with the LA Chargers was extremely on shaky ground after he held out last year, and there was just no way in hell that they were ever going to re-sign him there. With the season that Philip Lindsay had last year, essentially as their number one running back last year, I don't know. I guess maybe they're taking a model in what the Saints did a couple of years ago with having sort of your thumper in in Mark Ingram and having somebody like Alvin Kamara as your pass catcher, and that's sort of the mold that I see it as, is Phillip Lindsay is going to be your thumper up front, and they'll have Melvin Gordon there to sort of, you know, catch passes in the backfield and help out in the running game, which sort of leaves Royce Freeman in the lurch a little bit as that third string running back there. He was a rookie a couple of years ago. I guess sort of $8 million a season. That's nowhere near the money that he thought that he was worth. No, he went out there and backed himself. And unfortunately it sort of backfired a little bit, but at least he got his money and he got a decent sort of deal. So
they just need
his production.
Broncos just need a quarterback. I mean, they are, you know, speaking of teams that really need a quarterback, that's them.
Well,
Broncos.
I think they were pretty happy with Drew Locke last year.
Look, mate, he's all right. Maybe he's just got more to prove, I suppose, and he's still young.
Right, exactly. And obviously the Denver Broncos released Joe Flacco, so they've moved on from him after 1 year. That didn't take long. So it looks like to me that they're pretty much all in on Drew Locke.
Okay. The other ones were the sort of final signings for me were the Raiders signing. So Malik Collins from the Cowboys, $6 million for 1 year, which is to me pretty shrewd because he's only 24 and he's a decent defensive linesman. Your boy Eli Apple from the Saints, $6 million over a year.
Yeah, I think he played fairly well for the Saints last year, sort of that secondary sort of corner/safety there that they got from the Giants, I think the year before. So, but not a bad deal, and he's definitely an above average safety in Eli Apple.
Nelson Aguilar from going to the Raiders for only for $1 million over a year. I mean, he's 26 coming off injuries,
coming off a season where he looked like he ate a bucket of chicken dipped in butter. Like, how many drops did that boy have last year?
The last two were Nick Kukowski, from the Bears, the linebacker, 24 over 3. But the big one I left till last, Marcus Mariota, 17.6 over 2 years. Is that done to, I guess, shake up the quarterback sort of feelings and, well, the Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's the same sort of situation in what the Chicago Bears have done in trading for Nick Foles to go there to essentially, I guess, sort of back up Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
This will be, you know, that little push for Derek Carr to possibly get him, you know, over the hump. They had a fairly decent offensive season last year, the Raiders, with all the turmoil that sort of, you know, started their season off last year with one Antonio Brown. Their season just did not get off to the start that they thought that it was going to. I think he's obviously now taken over Teddy Bridgewater. Now that he's a starter, he's sort of taken over that mantle as being the highest paid backup in the league.
That's true.
He's just there as a push on, I think.
That's true. Yeah. And the other one was the Houston Texans taking Randall Cobb, which is not his fault, but I really don't know what the hell the Houston Texans are doing, and I can really see your face.
That is such an ordinary replacement for DeAndre Hopkins,
which we'll get into the trades in a second. Yeah, I just don't get it. He was third or fourth string. I think it was third string.
I think third string there.
Cowboys. It's not him. He's not the head scratcher because he's not terrible, but the Texans just.
Now they've got like, you know, a bunch of number two receivers all trying to work together as to be a number one there. Will Fuller, obviously Randall Cobb and Kenny Stills there. So none of them really a quintessential number one receiver, but yeah, they're going to have to do the job now with Deshaun Watson to try and keep them as the top dog in their division, really.
So we'll move on to the trades, which to me out of all this has been the most interesting frenzy, I think. And not just a couple of standards. I think nearly every trade to me was just like, what, you know, not what the hell from both teams, but just how crazy they were.
The trades, a lot of them were very impactful.
Do we start with the obvious one?
what do you mean obvious? You mean DeForest Buckner going to the Colts from the 49ers? No, you're not. That's not the obvious one. No, is there another one out there?
It wasn't the first. Well, there is obvious. There's a few. When I say obvious, there's a few obvious ones, but I think it's the biggest. It's the head scratcher one. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's totally the head scratcher one.
DeAndre Hopkins. Now Arizona have got an absolute bargain in this. They have traded to Houston along with a fourth round pick. What did they have to give up? I've lost it now. Houston traded DeAndre Hopkins at a fourth round pick in exchange for David Johnson, a second rounder, and a 2021 fourth rounder. That is a steal of the NFL in years.
That's the fleecing of the century.
That's doing
what the Boston Celtics did to the Brooklyn Nets a few years ago. That is, they've just absolutely fleeced them.
All those picks.
To get a broken down Pierce, a broken down Kevin Garnett. Yeah. They just absolutely fleeced the Nets. And this is what, and whether or not Arizona initiated this deal or not, but Arizona has absolutely gotten unbelievable value there. And Kyler Murray there must just be rubbing his hands together going, oh my God. Yeah. Now we've got ourselves, a top five receiver in the game.
They still have Larry Fitzgerald and they still have Christian Kirk too. So he must be just,
oh,
yeah,
the options that can be run there are unbelievable now.
It really befuddled me. We'll circle back to the Texans. What are they doing? I don't get what the Texans are doing. I can't work it out.
If you just say that you take David Johnson's injuries out of it and say yes, they get a healthy David Johnson. Once again, he's one of those pass catching backs that's not your traditional sort of workhorse up front that's going to take 20 to 25 rushes per game. He got a fairly decent contract, not last year, the year before. There's got to be something sort of there underlying, with the relationship between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins has tried to squash it, but there's all sorts of reports out there from Michael Irvin, the Cowboys legend, to say that, there's definitely, something in the road blocking their relationship,
mm-hmm.
which DeAndre Hopkins just come out and flat out denied and sort of squashed that straight away. So I don't know.
Which is kind of good. That's good for him, I suppose.
But where's Irvin getting his info from? Is he being lied to from his sources? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just to make this deal, there's obviously a rift between coach, who is also the general manager there, and player, which you just in this day and age, you simply cannot have your coach be your general manager as well.
No, you can't do it. Yeah, no, you really can't. This wasn't really a head scratcher. I kind of liked it both ways, but another trade was Stephon Diggs going to the Bills. So the Bills received Stephon and a seventh rounder. Well, the Vikings picked up their first Buffalo's first pick, which ended up being number 22, a fifth and a sixth round pick, and a fourth rounder in 2021. So great for the Bills. really good for the Bills.
I think sort of, and, you know, not so much mortgaging the future, but, you know, they this is their time now, you know, in the AFC East. This is definitely their time to shine with New England being extremely vulnerable. They are the best team in the division now, and it's their division to lose. So to go out there and get, you know, a definite number one receiver in Stephon Diggs is, you know, it is terrific to help Josh Allen, you know, come along again to get better as a quarterback.
And, you know, for the Vikings to pick up, you know, a first rounder with that, it wasn't sort of too bad. They ended up picking up four picks, so I kind of liked it both ways personally.
No, that's right. Yeah, four picks for them. You know, they can sort of build towards the future. And who's to say which wide receivers? Apparently, this year's very heavy on decent wide receivers. So who's to say that they don't pick up a decent wide receiver in the first or second round?
Wasn't there like six or seven from Alabama alone?
There's like 14 wide receivers coming out of Alabama this year. I think Nick Saban's got his work cut out for him to try and replace all of those this year. The young kid Jerry Jeudy. There's big tabs on him. I think there's three genuine, number one / number two options coming out of just Alabama this year. It's a fairly thick wide receiver draft in the first couple of rounds, but you still should be able to pick up something decent in those later rounds too, you would think. So that would have to be their sort of building block for the future, because now Adam Thielen is basically their number one receiver now. He was hurt a little bit last year. It took Kyle Rudolph, like 6 weeks to get into the season, to get into the groove and actually work his way into the offense, with Minnesota. So they'll obviously sort of have to incorporate him a little bit more there as well. Stephon Diggs, there was a lot of tension between him, the coach, and Kirk Cousins last year. So, you know, that sort of come out in social media, you know, things last year, where he's sort of unhappy with the way he was being used and how much he was being used in the Vikings offense. So that was not so much the writing was on the wall, but I wasn't too surprised at this deal being done. Surprised at the team he went to in Buffalo.
I am surprised he went there, but it's their division to lose. It's absolutely there. We don't know how Big Ben's going to come back, but it's surely their division to lose. Surely.
Exactly right. They're just there. Big upgrades.
The 49ers, so they, I think because they tied a lot of money up with Arik Armistead, but they end up trading DeForest Buckner, that you mentioned right at the start, to the Colts for their first round.
That was a big one for me.
Number 13 pick. Well, it was big
That's big, man. The 13th pick. Big.
13th pick, yeah. Which I thought they might end up, after they lost Emmanuel Sanders, I thought they might end up going for a, when they lost out to trying to get Emmanuel Sanders, I thought they might go for a wide receiver in that pick, but obviously that's not the case.
The Niners haven't really made a lot of moves on that sort of skill position side. I would think that their main goal now would be to, okay, they're not going to have their, they're going to have this first round pick. From Indianapolis, which they could, you know, maybe use some draft capital that they've got this year or next year to try and move up further to get somebody like Jerry Jeudy or somebody like that because they've got a super young team.
They should get a decent one to fall, a 13 at least anyway.
I would think so. I think the other one I'm thinking of is his name's T. Higbee. I'm pretty sure that's it. I hope that's right.
T.Y. Higbee. You're right.
He's definitely up there as one of those big receivers as well. So that would be an immediate need, I think, for the 49ers. Coming off the loss of the Super Bowl, because there's not a lot of weaknesses in that team. Possibly, one of them sort of, I guess they've got more finesse running backs rather than a real hard thumper up front. Obviously Tevin Coleman, you don't really associate him with being that hard nose, looking for the hard work up front. Raheem Mostert there as well. They're sort of your more finesse, looking for gaps type running backs rather than just trying to just bash up the middle. So that could be something that they may look for in the draft as well. But yeah, there's very few weaknesses in that 49ers team. And obviously you said Armstead there as well, where they tied up a lot of money in.
Yeah.
So for them to sort of to get that high pick and possibly address a need in wide receiver is the right way to go for the Niners.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in full rebuilding mode, clearly. So they end up trading Nick Foles to the Bears for just this year's fourth round pick from the Bears.
Fourth rounder. And the Chicago is going to have to take on all that salary.
But because of the guaranteed money, so he played four games last year and he made $30.5 million for just four
hurt,
games.
He got like hurt in the first half of the first game last year.
But because of the guaranteed money, so he made in four games $30 million. It's
beautiful.
It's good for him. It's fine for the Jaguars. Look, if they're in rebuilding mode, they've obviously made a mistake, and Gardner Minshew come out of his skin,
Minshew mania is back in Jacksonville.
But what are the Bears doing? Is this really competition for Mitchell Trubisky?
Like we sort of said before, I think this is the same sort of situation there. Derek Carr has got a lot more experience, I think, than what Mitch Trubisky does, but this is a push along, and obviously Chase Daniels was the backup last year, and he wasn't going to be the long term plan to push Trubisky along. If they bench Trubisky this year, then there is a possibility that he might not get the starting job back.
I mean, unless they're seeing it as a silver lining of what happened in Philadelphia, when Nick Foles come out Carson Wentz.
And it's not an injury. It's not an injury thing. Even though Trubisky was hurt at the start of last year, he come back. I think it was shoulder. I think, but he ended up starting. And they benched him throughout the season. But this is a total push along. And I think the Chicago Bears have sort of come out and put all their eggs in one basket. I think this is their last shot at trying to prove that Trubisky is the guy that they've invested all this money in. Trading up in that draft, missing out on Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes.
He had
a North Carolina. He'd had 13 starts.
Yeah.
And he wasn't just he just wasn't blowing everyone's skirt up as an unbelievable starter there at North Carolina. Yeah. So for them to go out there, there was talk about Mitchell Trubisky to say that he had potential, but Chicago went all out, traded up to number two to pick him up, and they're just trying to go out there and say, we did not make a mistake. Yes, this kid has got the potential to be our franchise quarterback, and that they don't want to admit the mistake.
Yeah. A couple other standouts were Darius Slay getting traded from the cornerback from Lions to the Eagles for a third and a fifth round pick. Good for Eagles. He's a star, I guess, cover man. That obviously then he got the money he wanted. He wanted $50 million and he ended up getting it. So, I don't know. I guess in both ways it was good for the Eagles because they probably needed something, more coverage at the back. But it was good for the Lions because
they needed to shore up that secondary a lot. They got abused plenty last year in the secondary Philadelphia.
I just it, I get good for the Lions because he was nagging to move anyway. I guess the only downside for them is they only picked up a third and fifth round. So
when
Jalen Ramsey picked up a couple of first rounders for when he got traded to the Rams. So there's a couple, I just sort of thought Darius Lake probably could have got him a bit more, but
they could have got more than a third and a fifth. Like you said, the relationship between him and Matt Patricia had soured plenty. When they'd sort of had some frank discussions that Patricia had come out and said that he's just absolutely not a number one cover corner in the league. He's not in that upper echelon of corners out there, and he sort of wanted to go out there and prove him wrong. And it just soured. He'd come out and said that he'd lost all respect for Matt Patricia after that. So he did well to sort of, put that behind him, have a good season with Detroit. Even though last year Detroit were just,
I don't see him getting past three games. Three or four games. They'll do the same again this year. So, unfortunately.
It depends on what they want to do. Draft-wise, like I said, if they want to stay at three and take somebody like Tua, if they can take a flash on him and then maybe do some sort of deal with Matt Stafford in a couple of years and let Tua sit behind Stafford. Or if they take somebody else, they need help everywhere. They need help on the offensive line. They just need better weapons. A little bit better luck too. Like, they had some injuries last year that didn't really help Stafford. Obviously, Stafford himself went down last year as well. He had those back fractures. And they started. I think they had Jeff Driskel there for a little bit. Detroit were just a dumpster fire last year, and that's why they've rightfully earned the third pick.
And the other last sort of, I guess, big standout trade for me was the Jaguars picking up defensive lineman Calais Campbell from the Ravens. And in the cheap, because it was just all they picked up from Baltimore was a fifth-round pick. So
yeah,
it's just a fire sale, basically. They're doing what Miami, I suppose, sort of did. They're not picking up great things, but they're doing what Miami did.
They are getting that capital, so... Calais Campbell, he's a bit of a unit too, so that's a pretty decent pickup.
Great pickup for the Ravens. For
Baltimore.
Oh my God, really?
And in sort of saying that as well, Baltimore did a deal with Atlanta to trade one of their 46 tight ends that they had last year. Hayden Hurst has gone to Atlanta. From Baltimore, and basically Atlanta, they get like a 2024th.
Yeah.
So not so much a bad deal, but that's a big downgrade for Atlanta in the tight end department.
Well, that's right, considering they had Austin Hooper, which again I just don't get. He was close to the best tight end last year, productively anyway.
Production-wise, that's right. Yeah, didn't quite have the touchdown numbers as what he's had in previous seasons. He was definitely 75 catches, nearly 800 yards.
Yeah.
That's not a Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce type year. But, that's not too bad at all.
So we'll finish on a couple of – so there's still a couple of players that are out there that haven't signed yet, that have been either released or haven't signed. And we may as well, throw out where we might think they're going to go. I think the most obvious first one is Cam Newton, the quarterback from the released Carolina Panthers.
I think Carolina would be very disappointed that they couldn't get anything for him.
Yeah.
I think they may have jumped the gun a little bit. I think they sort of could have kept him. But, they're moving on there. With Teddy Bridgewater, so Newton had come out that he basically requested a trade pretty much straight after they signed Teddy. So, and he's like, I think it was on social media on Twitter. It's like, you forced me into this, you forced my hand into this.
Mm.
So I guess there's a few teams out there that could address the quarterback situation. I'm not sure it's the one that everybody would sort of think is extremely obvious in
the
New England Patriots.
You don't think so?
The things that I hear out there, and so, I mean, you know, by no means are we the most credible NFL experts around, but just the things that you hear, you know, what I hear on the radio and what you hear on TV, whether it's NFL Live or SportsCenter, they say that Belichick has, totally stealing off ESPN. Well, they got nothing else to do at the moment.
No, of course not.
Except for reruns of the 1984 college championship game.
I just think just for Cam Newton going to the Patriots, I think it's just a low risk, a low risk, possibly high end reward. I think they could do worse. I think they have a quarterback in their stocks. They're all sort of talking up, and he may start anyway.
Yeah, there's the possibility that the last year's rookie Jared Stidham could start for him. I think pretty sure he started all of their preseason games, and they've also signed the ever reliable ageless wonder in Brian Hoyer there as well. So they've got him. I guess at this point in time, you would think that he would be the backup, and Jared Stidham will play. Will start. Like I was saying before, that apparently Belichick runs a fairly complex sort of offense, and he needs that guy to be a high completion guy. And Newton has only sort of shown that in the last season and a half that he could possibly be a high completion guy. Being extremely accurate. That's never been one of his. That's never really been his forte to be. A high efficiency, high percentage player. So that for me rules out Jameis Winston, who's another one out there.
Oh yeah,
and that rules out Cam Newton. I think for New England. For me, I honestly think that really New England is going to go after someone like Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen, really? Really?
I just have a feeling that. He's going to go there with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And Josh McDaniels there is a really good offensive coordinator. I honestly think that somebody like Josh Rosen could go there and could really flourish. I think he's only young.
Is he not? Is he? He's not unsigned, but is he? No.
That would probably. I don't think that he's a free agent. I can't remember if he was a 2-year or 1-year deal when he had that trade over there from Arizona to Miami. So I still think that that could be they could get once again Miami could get some more draft capital. Mm. I think they only gave up did they give up a second rounder or a fourth rounder to get Rosen? So relatively low risk.
I think it was a second rounder if I remember.
Yeah, so. Well, not so much low risk, but do you know what I mean? Like, I honestly think that he could fit in quite well there. Just given a chance.
I'd tell you one name I did hear before we move on to who's left. That will all depend on what they're doing on draft day. Is Andy Dalton?
I've definitely heard that as well. Yep,
Andy Dalton, because like you said, it's complex, but I think I don't know what I've heard. I think he'd be the kind of quarterback that Belichick would like, or at least flourish under. He's 32,
he's a veteran. Yeah.
So I've heard that name, but I don't know. I feel like they'll keep with what they got and see what happens at draft night, and then we'll just sort of go from there. That's going to happen, I guess, for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think all signs point to Stidham being there and staying there and being, and then this could be, there's the conspiracies out there that New England are going to be a dumpster fire this season, which I just can't see happening, but you never know. And this is all a plan to get Trevor Lawrence next year.
Yeah, that was all. I said this 2 to 3 years ago that was going to happen. I swear I said that was going to happen. That they would be a dumpster fire, and then Trevor. Trevor Lawrence will
fall right into their lap.
I'm sure I'll go back and find. I preached about that was going to happen because
Was it Trevor Lawrence 20? He's got the thickest neck I've ever seen on a human being, let alone just a 20-year-old.
If he's got another seat, if he plays, is after this year, after this season, he's eligible.
He is eligible. No, that's that they wanted him to come out this year, but he's not. This is only his second year. Next year with Clemson, so it'll be the next year's draft. It'll be the 2021 draft he'll be able to come out. He's going to fall right into New England's lap.
Oh, my God. That would be absolutely insane.
You can just see it.
Them or the Detroit Lions. A couple of other ones that are sort of left before we finish up. Jadeveon Clowney, still unsigned.
Still too expensive by the sounds of it. I think he wants a fat deal, and there's not too many teams out there willing to give it to him. He's most likely, I think he's most likely going to stay
in Seattle.
Stay there in Seattle.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Seattle, but I think it's I think he could fit well in New York Jets. I think they've got enough cap space.
They haven't made a whole lot of deals, really. You know, like expensive deals, and they were one of the teams that had, along with Miami, that had an absolute boatload of cap space to use.
Yeah. I just think they've got $36 million. They've got Jamal Adams still there, and then CJ Mosley in that defense. If they could sign him,
And they're two pretty good sort of in the backfield there. If you could have a pass rusher, you know, defensive lineman, defensive end like Jadeveon Clowney there, that would really do wonders for the Jets. The Jets, once again, they're one of those teams that needs to find some decent weapons for Sam Darnold to throw to.
And what you mentioned him before. What about Jameis Winston?
He's going to be a back. He'll be a backup. I have a feeling where,
but you've probably already heard it too. But he'll be a backup. He won't be a starter.
He'll be a backup somewhere. Nobody's going to take a flyer on a starter. You can't. The numbers tell two stories. You know, the 5,100 yards tick, the 33 touchdowns tick. The 30 interceptions, gigantic cross. Cross, 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 big cross, and let's put another cross on there, because that's just you just can't throw 30 interceptions in a season. You can't do it. He did, but he's gonna be a backup somewhere, and he's probably gonna sign on a 1 year deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where he could sort of fit in.
I think, because this team needs a long-term answer anyway. I don't know. And they've got to have the money, so I don't know if it's going to work. But I think he would work well at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh.
I think he would be, you know, under Mike Tomlin, I think he could get the best out of him personally. You know, having Ben as a mentor.
He would definitely have to sit. And, you know, Big Ben doesn't really like... Yeah, when they drafted Mason Rudolph a couple of years ago, he flat out come out and said, I'm not here, to help, especially somebody like Mason Rudolph. You know, he's there. He's the number one guy. He's the starter. He's not there to sort of help and nurture along a rookie. Right. Jameis Winston's been in the league 5 years now.
He has.
So he'd be fit wise. I think that's one of the places where he probably could fit in. I just don't see that, how much longer, is Big Ben going to come back, yeah, bigger and better than ever after this elbow injury. Next season,
yeah,
they've restructured his deal, so he's not taking as big a cap hit. Is he going to want to play on again the season after? It, you know, if Winston can sort of show some sort of improvement, can he get? Yeah, it's just about cutting those turnovers out.
I don't know. I just think, especially with Big Ben, like, I don't know how many more years he's got in him. They just, their problem is they've only got $10 million in cap space. So I don't think it's going to happen. I just could see it working. That's all.
Yeah. And even a place like Jacksonville, you know, he doesn't even have to leave the state. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he could be that push on, so to speak. You know, for Gardner Minshew, or they leave Minshew on the bench and start Winston, and if he starts just, you know, leaking interceptions again, then at least they know that they've got somebody who's a little familiar with what's going on there in Minshew mania, and they can just plug him straight back in. So that could be another option as well.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad sort of thought, but surely they wouldn't throw money at another quarterback that may or may not come out.
No, you said, they're in total and utter rebuild mode at the moment, but I don't think they're going to be throwing a whole lot of money at him. He might think and want he's going to get a lot of money, but nobody's going to sign him on a decent-ish sort of contract. It's just not going to happen.
Were there any other sort of ones that are still left before we finish up?
No, the only one that sort of sticks out to me a little bit too is Devontae Freeman, still unsigned as well. So, he as long as he can sort of prove health, he could definitely be helpful. To a lot of teams out there that could use, you know, he's essentially your thumper up front. It's just proving health. That's all.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, you know, it depends. There's a few running backs in the draft too. So I think where people are
he's,
now...
He's proven, though. Like, you know, when they had that run to the Super Bowl a few years ago and had their soul stolen by the New England Patriots, he's unfortunately a victim of that. He's had his soul stolen as well by Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, and he just hasn't looked or been the same since. So... you can't say that you wouldn't rule out him going to somewhere like New England, but they've already got themselves a nice sort of, you know, spread of pass catching backs and, you know, sort of a bit of muscle up front with Sony Michel. So, you know, that you sort of rule that out, but there's teams out there, you know, Tampa could use, another one up front. Like we said before, they've lost Peyton Barber. So they've only got Ronald Jones there, so you could see
Perryman too. Oh no, he was a wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Breshad Perryman, who absolutely shined in the absence of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin when they were both hurt.
Not a head scratcher. Maybe they just didn't think they could keep him, but
I don't think Perryman went for very much. I think it was only like $3 million.
I thought it was like $6 or $8 million. It wasn't like a massive contract.
Oh, there you go. $8 million.
One year. Yeah.
To the Jets. So I guess that's their sort of answer to Robbie Anderson. But
Not bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, definitely not bad. You know, that'll help Sam Darnold there out a little bit. But even a place like somewhere like New York. Le'Veon Bell's there. He hasn't sort of quite worked out as what they and if you don't sign him on a very big contract, I think he could be relatively low risk.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that'll do it, I guess.
I reckon that'll do us.
It's a very long podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. That would be SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter, which is at the Final Play Pod.
That sounds about right. Hopefully we can.
I got it right.
Yeah, no, hopefully. hopefully we can sort of keep giving you, you know, the people out there, our loyal listeners, some content to keep you entertained while the entire sports world has been completely shut down and nullified due to coronavirus. Sorry about that.
yeah, that was unintentional at all.
Yeah, that was totally unintentional. But yeah, like you said, you know, just keep following us on that Facebook page, at the Final Play Podcast on Facebook, and obviously on Twitter as well. And we'll be getting as much info as we can as things start to break. When the NBA and rugby league decide to come back and grace us on our television sets again, which hopefully will be sooner rather than later. So also on this, on our NFL podcast, don't forget to sort of, you know, to check us out. We're on Gimco as well. So yeah, we'll be posting that up there. So you can check those guys out as well. GIMKO.com.au. And we are in the community tab.
Yeah,
it's been a long night. You can check us out on Gimco as well. We'll be getting our NFL stuff up on there, so you can check out those guys as well. So
We'll probably try something different too. We'll work it out. We'll try something different to do.
Like we said before, we can sort of have a look at those types of movies that sort of show the supposed future and what they thought it was going to look like, say something like Demolition Man or Back to the Future. I think they were all very much lying to us in the way that the future is going to look. Demolition Man, they still have box TVs. Like, I want to know where their flat screens are at. I only just caught a little glimpse of Demolition Man the other day. So, yeah, no, box TVs in the 2020s. So, yeah, that's definitely something that they lied to us about. But anyway.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason.
My name's Miles, box TV lover Plum. And, enjoy. And we'll...
That's a lie.
We'll endeavor to keep everybody as informed as we steal information off the internet and pass it on to you guys.
Peace out, everyone. See ya.
See ya.